The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.
Welcome to Friday, Jocks Roundtable. Along with Lance Taylor, I'm Ryan Brown, rock star, Stu McCann, and Laurel Taylor producing the show. You can reach us at 834-945-0800-239-9569. Dunaway back with us on Monday following his 30A trip. I'm sure he'll be tanned and happy, Lance, coming back from 30A, his favorite place.
Yeah, that is heaven for Dunaway. There's no doubt.
This is the time of year to be there, though.
Yeah, because all the kids have gone back to school, which, again, to me, I know it's kind of a relief for a lot of parents. Of course, when they go back to school, it brings a lot of traffic for a lot of people. You and I don't have to deal with that traffic anymore.
Correct.
I just, again, I hate it for the kids. It just seems so simple. Back in the day, we used to get out Memorial Day. We went back Labor Day. You had a full 3 months. Our kids seem to only have like 8 weeks now.
I went before my oldest started school, back when she was like four. We went late August 1 year down to 38, and it is an absolute ghost town. I mean, it was a blast.
And the weather's still obviously fantastic.
I know, it's terrific.
You can get great deals.
Nobody there. Nobody on the golf courses. Nobody in the restaurants. Nobody on the road. It was amazing. So this is the time to be there. So good for Dunaway. We got a lot to get to on the show today. We'll visit with our normal guest, John Parker Wilson, at 7. Alabama Athletics Director Greg Byrne with us at 8:15. We'll get to that announcement in just a few moments. Also, Chris Vernon at 9, and Alan Ruck, actor from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. That would be his most prominent role, right, Rockstar?
Cameron Frye.
Yeah.
Ferris's best friend. He was also in Speed. He was in Young Guns 2.
Yeah, he's been in a ton of stuff. Television-wise, I guess Spin City, which I never watched, with Michael J.
City.
Fox.
He was in that The Exorcist TV show on Fox last year.
That lasted, what, about 6 episodes?
No, I think it was actually 2 seasons.
So Alan Ruck will be with us at 9:30, and we'll squeeze in Rockstar in the Roundtable Lounge as well. So a bunch to get to on the show. Let's start, Lance, with the announcement in Tuscaloosa yesterday. If you're going to spend $600 million over 10 years, you better get some nice stuff out of it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money, $60 million a year. That's an awful lot. You look at the videos, the renderings, the artist renderings in the videos, and it looks pretty spectacular what Alabama is about to undertake here.
Yeah, we were looking at some yesterday. It doesn't even look real. And, you know, I just remember going back in the mid to late 80s to Bryant-Denny before they even put an upper deck on that thing.
Yeah, I can remember being a kid in the Bryant-Denny Bowl.
Yeah.
It was like, what, 60,000, sleepy. I mean, no video boards, barely good scoreboards.
And now you're going to have, you know, some of the same, I don't know, features that you get on Mercedes and Jerry World and some of these amazing NFL venues.
Do you think this is going to filter? Now, not all of college football has the financial resources of an Alabama or a Texas or people like that, but this is mirroring what happened in the NFL, where used to it was just about going to a stadium. I mean, think about this. Think of how nice the stadiums are right now. There was a time where about a third of the NFL teams played in a converted baseball stadium.
Yeah, I remember going to Falcons game in Fulton
County. Awful, awful game. I went with my uncle one time who lived in Atlanta. My dad and I drove over to my uncle. We sat on the 50-yard line, and we were a mile from the field. Yeah. I mean, you couldn't see anything.
I mean, anytime
you
go to a football game and there's a dirt infield, you got a problem.
I know. But about half the about third to half of the NFL did that.
Yeah, I mean, the Raiders are still doing it this year.
I know,
they really are.
So, that's the whole one of the main reasons they're going to Vegas. But I remember the Eagles used to do it in the Vet. Pittsburgh used to do it in Three Rivers Stadium. You know, Cincinnati and Rivers. Heck, that whole division played in baseball stadiums, except for Cleveland, who played an absolute dump. Stadiums used to be dumps, and at some point, the NFL said we can't just play in dumps. We got to give these people something really nice to come to. So now you're starting to see this filter down to college football. Again, not everybody can afford to do this, but don't you think this is what the big programs are going to start doing?
Yeah, I think the timing probably lined up with this, and I'm not exactly sure, because obviously if you're living in Atlanta, if there was a sellout in that market, then you could actually watch games on a local broadcast, because we don't have the blackout rule anymore. But I would say that the stadium renovations, probably there's a correlation between NFL Sunday Ticket, when it hit its prime, in the early part of the 2000s, and these stadium upgrades, because people that would have the accessibility that maybe before couldn't watch their team every Sunday, You can sit on the couch and watch it. Now, you've got to have a reason to go to the game.
You know what's interesting? I went to the Falcons-Dolphins game last year over at Mercedes-Benz. And do you know, in every, I think it was every time out, every stoppage of play, there's a girl that comes up on the big video board there in the ring at Mercedes-Benz, and she's like in a control room somewhere, it looks like. And every time it's a fantasy update. You know, here was a touchdown catch by Antonio Brown. If you got him in your fantasy, I mean, that was the whole, you know, Steelers now take a 17-10 lead. Let's look at scores throughout the, you know, Jared Goff threw another touchdown pass. I mean, it was all about fantasy and the unspoken gambling as well, because we're giving you the scores.
Yeah, but I think more so, the more of importance, and I think more people are involved actually in fantasy than just regular wagering.
Oh, yeah.
But I think if you polled your average fan in the NFL, what's the most important thing that they want to see from game day operations, they would say fantasy update.
Yeah, I just noticed like every update she gave, Lance, was really stat-driven. Like, here are Ben Roethlisberger's pass yards, here are Antonio Brown's receiving yards, here are Le'Veon Bell's rushing yards, you know? I mean, it was like every update was real stats-driven. So, you're right. I mean, that's what the NFL has tried to do, is convince people, don't sit at home on the couch, come to the stadium. Now, Bryant-Denny Stadium was already one of the nicest stadiums in the country. I mean, they're just, they're polishing up a Maserati at this point, right? The thing that I think most people wanted to see out of this was what becomes of Coleman Coliseum. You'll recognize the outside, but based on those artist renderings, you will not recognize the inside. It's a totally different joint when they're done with that.
I mean, it seems to have, and you know, we joked about a pool yesterday at Jacksonville. It seems to have everything but a pool.
Everything but a pool. Be kind of cold that time of year for a pool, I would imagine. Boy, if you started doing that in college, how quickly would that get out of control?
I mean, I could see it at Arizona State.
That would be the one place, yeah, or one of the places. You think you'd have some liability on your hands if you
probably,
started doing
that? Yeah, a little bit.
So that was yesterday in Tuscaloosa. We'll talk more about that with Greg Byrne coming up at 8:15. He is going to join us. But if you watched the videos, we would love your feedback, and we'll get to your calls on that in a moment. 834-945-0800-239-9569, and you can hit us up on Twitter as well, at Jocks Roundtable. In a few moments, you'll hear J.B. Grimes, the Auburn offensive line coach, answers the question, who's Auburn's offensive line right now? He told the collective media yesterday at the Assistant Coaches Media Day who his starting five would be. We'll play that for you in just a moment so you can hear from the offensive line coach's mouth who the starting offensive line is going to be. And I've also got one thing. Now, Nick Saban, I mean, if in a Nick Saban news conference, wouldn't you say it's fairly rare for him to be asked about a specific position or phase of the game and say, oh, we're really good there?
I mean, I can't recall.
Yeah, most of the time he likes to say, well, you know, we're making progress. We've still got a ways to go.
Yeah, we've still got a ways to go. We can definitely improve.
Yeah. So we've got Nick Saban from his press conference yesterday saying one phase of the game has a long way to go, has some work to do, and one phase of the game is really good. So we'll play good cop, bad cop with Nick Saban on that one. And we'll let you hear what the Auburn offensive line coach says about his starting offensive line. Real quick from the preseason of the NFL last night. Sam Darnold has pretty good control of this situation, I think, Lance. Now, he wasn't faultless last night, but I think he's got pretty good control of this quarterback situation in New York. It seems that he's going to be the starter right
now.
Yeah,
I would agree. I mean, McCown is a guy that they brought in, a guy that's 38 that, you know, it seemed like Josh McCown would be your guy, or 39, a guy that's played years in the NFL and seemed like the safe choice until you get Sam Darnold ready. And it looked like Teddy Bridgewater was just, let's just see what he's still got.
Yeah.
But now it looks like Darnold and Bridgewater have separated themselves. And you know that Bridgewater is not going to be the future of this organization. And you actually can probably get value out of him, especially the fact that you're only paying him $6 million this year. Sam Darnold is the future. I don't know how you don't go that direction. Both Darnold and Bridgewater look good, though.
Yeah, Darnold threw one interception. It was on a 4th-and-1 play that was just kind of a desperation pass because it was 4th-and-1. So it wasn't necessarily a terrible interception. The Packers beat the Steelers 51-34. It doesn't matter. I don't even think Roethlisberger played in this game, did he? And Rodgers only played one possession. But 51 points in a preseason game is something you don't normally see. I mean, 51 points in an NFL game is something you don't normally see.
Yeah, I think 10 of 14 games last weekend went over, though. So they are scoring.
Oh, we got a high-scoring preseason, then, is what you're telling me. Yeah. But I did see in Aaron Rodgers' one possession, he gets them down in the red zone. Who does he find in the end zone? Jimmy Graham.
Jimmy Graham. And Jimmy Graham, we've heard by all accounts, I mean, this is going to be a dangerous weapon for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you just think about Jimmy Graham, how physical he is, his ability to go up and get football, and how precise Aaron Rodgers is. So in red zone, that combination could be deadly this year.
And the Patriots, they exact some revenge, don't they, on the Eagles? That's got to feel better, right?
Yeah.
37-20, the Patriots win a preseason game.
The takeaway there, Nick Foles gets a little banged up.
Yeah.
Leaves in the second quarter with what the team described as a shoulder strain. And your problem there is Carson Wentz, I don't remember the last time he has been completely healthy for a season. You know, going back to his college days. I mean, this is a guy that missed an entire year, and then obviously last year misses December in the postseason. If Foles isn't healthy, Carson Wentz still kind of up in the air for week one. You don't want to go move forward with Nate Sudfeld.
That would not be ideal, though he did throw for 315 yards last night. I don't think he could do that in normal situations, right?
I'm going to say the Indiana product's got not going to be – there's going to be a drop-off between Wentz, Foles, and what you get with Sudfeld.
And the Redskins already lost Darius Geis for the season, and last night in that game, Samaje Perine gets banged up and has to leave the game. So, standard explaining what Alabama will undertake.
Evolution of the facilities is critical as we continue to move our program forward to support the levels we expect them to perform and to compete for championships. This was a process that involved our student athletes, our letter winners, our coaches, our staff, university leadership, and our fans. It is a 10-year, $600 million plan.
That is Greg Byrne. Your reaction right now, we've got some good questions. If you've got questions as an Alabama fan, you want us to ask Greg Byrne, I'd way rather ask your questions than mine. And there are a couple of good ones coming in, like this one from Nick Saban's statue. Who's got a place at Bryant-Denny Stadium. I would love to know if the upper deck seating reduction has anything to do with the poor student attendance or the mass exit at halftime. I mean, they're basically cutting that one upper deck in half, knocking the middle of it out and putting a garden up there.
When we're looking at Coleman Coliseum, they're going from
15 to 11, something like that.
14 to 10. Yeah. I mean, 10,000 is the number they're shooting for, but they're going to lose about 4,000 seats. I mean, that's a huge percentage of seats. I don't think it matters at Coleman, but, I mean, what is the total number right now you're losing at Bryant-Denny?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like, if I'm just guessing, you know, 2,500 seats or so. I mean, it probably...
Because it was almost an arms race for a while. Who could have the biggest stadium in college football?
I'm going to guess, with the luxury seats and all that, the way they're going to count this, they're still going to keep the capacity over 100,000. I think that's just kind of a...
I mean, I think that was a recruiting tool for a while.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the second largest stadium in college football.
Yeah, but you know, if you can knock seats out, but then you add luxury seats and seats here, seats there. Skew the numbers somehow. And you remember one year Tennessee, like, shrunk their seat size to increase their capacity. Cody is in Calera. He is up next. Welcome in, Cody. How are you?
Morning, Brown. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you.
I just got a quick comment about the Crimson Standard.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on ESPN2 right now? You know, the training days. You can't tell me next week that's not all next week is about. The Crimson Standard, you know, Coach Saban donated $1 million. How's you going to get your thoughts on that? And y'all have a great day.
All right, thank you. That does seem to be a very interesting time to be doing this. And maybe this gives us some insight, Lance, on why Nick Saban was willing to allow the ESPN cameras to follow him around. That he obviously knew this was going to be announced at some point in the very near future. And it certainly doesn't look bad for the whole nation to see, here's what you're doing.
Everything Nick Saban does is calculated.
Oh, yeah. And most of it is calculated to impact recruiting, almost all of it, really.
When he knew that Bo Mattingly and this crew, they were going to come in and shoot this, I'm sure they had everything laid out. This is what's going to be going on this week. Kobe Bryant's coming in, or let's make sure that we get a big name.
That's right, big name. They got a big one.
We've got a stadium renovation coming up. Let's go on and announce.
We're gonna donate $1 million. Me and my wife. Let's go ahead and do that. I mean, yeah. I mean, it's because this is all a PR piece. Is all it is.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch the PJ Fleck. I would assume that was more just getting acclimated to the Big Ten and the Minnesota program.
Yeah.
But to me, that seems like maybe that was more on the fly. You just come in and see how we operate day to day. We're really not gonna plan anything out.
Yeah. My wife actually. On her own one day, I'd left the TV on ESPN, and that PJ, and I started doing something else, and the PJ Fleck one came on. This was last year when it wasn't being PJ Fleck.
I think it was being
Brett Bielema. And something PJ Fleck. I can't remember what the Fleck one was. But my wife is in there watching it, and she goes, man, this guy's really impressive. I know you're aware of him. And I was like, yeah, he's an interesting guy. You know, was a really good coach at a lower level school. He's kind of taken a mid-tier Big Ten job to try to be big time. I said, he's a real interesting guy. And then she Googled him, and she found some things she didn't really care for about him. But otherwise, she was like, he's a really impressive guy.
Did she like the tattoo at least?
I think she liked.
Is it a shoulder tat?
I think she liked choice number one.
Is it a shoulder tat, though?
I think it is, yes. Let's go to Jordan in Birmingham next. Hey, Jordan, how are you? Jordan? Jordan is going Paul's question, and we'll ask Greg Byrne this. Why wait 5 years to redo Coleman? Avery is a good recruiter. We need to capitalize with a great venue ASAP. I mean, it's interesting. When all this is said and done, 10 years, $600 million, I would dare say neither one of these head coaches is there. I don't know which one you'd say is more likely to be there, but in 10 years, I don't know that Avery Johnson's the basketball coach at Alabama and Nick Saban's the football coach.
Yeah, I would say neither one. I guess I would go Avery just based on age. You know, if things break right for Avery and Avery has a couple of, tournament runs over the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think age-wise he could hold on.
I don't see either one of those guys. To be 10 years, first of all, 10 years is a long time to be in any one place.
Any job, but a coaching job too, the way those wear on you.
But we're going to talk about Nick Saban doing 2 decades in Alabama.
That'd seem happening. Crazy, wouldn't it? All right, I promised you this sound courtesy of our buddy Brandon Marcello, Auburn Undercover. And you can see all of his write up there at auburnundercover.com. But J.B. Grimes yesterday, they had a coaches, basically an assistant coaches media day, Lance. And we've talked about this a lot. What would the offensive line look like if the game was today? J.B. Grimes was asked that, and here's how he answered it.
You know, I've got a group of five that if we had to play today, that's the best way I would describe it. I think if we had to play today, I know who I would want to jog out there for that first play. It would be Tega at left tackle, Harrell at left guard, Kim at center, Horton at right guard, and Driscoll at right tackle if we had to play today. But quite honestly, we're still a work in progress, okay?
So Prince Tega, this left or right, again, Prince Tega, Markell Harrell, Caleb Kim.
Okay, and people said the left side's pretty much set.
Yeah.
It was more about what are they going to do on that right side, and this is something we kind of alluded to yesterday. I mean, this looks the direction they're going.
Mike Horton and Jack Driscoll on the right side with Caleb Kim at center. You know, Calvin Ashley was obviously, and still is, obviously in that. I don't know how much the injury affected him. I don't know if that's why this five looks like it does. But Prince Tega, Markell Harrell, Caleb Kim, Mike Horton, Jack Driscoll. But as J.B. Grimes said there, Lance, that's not carved in stone right now. I mean, you could still have some changes, but if they were playing Washington today, that's what the starting five would look like. And like you said, it does appear that Prince Tega and Markell Harrell are pretty as close to set in stone as you're going to be there on that left side.
Yeah, I think more it was about the right side for J.B. Grimes trying to figure that out. It looks like they've got a direction now.
Yeah, so that's the five across, according to offensive line coach J.B. Grimes. It's hard to find a better source than that. The other thing that came out of this, Cody Burns said he would be, quote, shocked if four of the freshman wide receiver aren't on the field in some capacity. Now, those four he's talking about are Seth Williams, Matthew Hill, Shedrick Jackson, Anthony Schwartz. Shocked is what he said, Lance, if those four guys aren't on the field in some capacity.
I mean, people say that they're playing that well right now.
Yeah.
Look, and we've seen freshman receivers get on the field before in the SEC. Look, I don't think age matters anymore in college football.
No, all those guys come ready to play, don't they?
I mean, you just look at what Tua was able to do in the second half against Georgia. You look at what Jake Fromm did down the stretch. I mean, young guys are playing now.
Yeah. I mean, Jalen Waddell says, or everyone says Jalen Waddell is going to be difficult to keep off the field in Tuscaloosa. And Cody Burns says these four freshmen are difficult to keep off the field in Auburn. I'm going to go to the Big Ten for our team now. We are creeping up. We are in the top five now with our 40 teams in 40 shows. And let me explain why you might be a little surprised that the top five doesn't all get encompassed in next week. We have got our Guarantee Friday show next Friday. So that will mean that our countdown ends on Thursday. So we are in the top five now. We've got the Wisconsin Badgers. This is a team, Lance, who's got a more difficult than normal schedule because of their crossover games. They still get to feast on the West Division, which is the weaker of the divisions in the Big Ten, but their crossover games make it a more difficult schedule. All of that being said, this is the team I have winning the Big Ten as a one-loss team and making the college football playoffs.
Such a consistent product, and you look at Paul Chris going into year four, and he's gotten better in every year from 10-3 to 11-3 to 13-1. I had Wisconsin going undefeated in the regular season last year based on schedule. You mentioned schedule, much more difficult. You still avoid Ohio State and Michigan State out of the East, but road games at Iowa, Michigan, at Northwestern, at Penn State, to me, a best case scenario, 11-1, a worst case, 9-3. I think this is a 10-2 team. So I've got them a little down from you. I don't have a problem with them sitting where they're sitting. I think they're going to be really good. Paul Christ, he's an offensive guy with the 9 returning starters. Hornibrook's been a little inconsistent, but the last time we saw him out against pretty good Miami defense, this is a guy that lit it up. 23 of 34, 4 touchdowns, no picks, and a 10-point win in the Orange Bowl. I think this will be the best offense Paul Christ has had since he's been in Madison. Jonathan Taylor, you can make an argument with Bryce Love, best running back in college football, a guy that went for almost 2,000 yards last year, almost 7 yards per carry. This offensive line is going to be dominant. Almost 150 career starts returning, all 5 starters intact.
Yeah, Trevor Maddich, and I think Cole agrees with this. We joke with him a lot, but I think he agrees. This is potentially, Trevor Maddich said it on our show, Cole, I think, is close to agreeing that this may be the best offensive line in the country, these guys.
I mean, Phil Still said it. You mentioned Maddich. You know, we'll get Cole's take on it, but I've heard him rave about Wisconsin's offensive line. Defensively, Jim Leonard's losing 7 starters, but this is a defense, when you look over the last 3 years under Paul Christ, they've given up 13.9, 15.6, and 13.7 points per game. So less than 14 points per game over 3 years. This defense, again, will be one of the better defenses in college football. My biggest problem for this Wisconsin team is an inconsistent Hornibrook with the games on the road. I think they dropped 2 of those 4 really difficult games. If they had last year's schedule, again, I think they would go undefeated, but I think the schedule's the biggest block this year for the Badgers.
I do have them dropping a regular season game, but springing what would be, I guess, a mild upset in the Big Ten Championship game. I don't imagine that they would be a huge underdog in that game, no matter who they play, right?
No, I mean, there's a good chance they get a rematch. I mean, it's going to be 1 of 4 teams in the East. It's going to be Ohio State, Michigan State, Michigan, or Penn State, and obviously Wisconsin, they've got to travel to Ann Arbor, and they've got to go to Penn State.
Here's one thing that concerns me. You wonder when, and I guess these guys are young enough, it doesn't really matter. This is a later in career concern for Jonathan Taylor. But there were only 3 running backs that got more carries than him in the nation last year, Lance. That's 299 carries on freshman legs is one thing. But you wonder when those carries start to add up for him, right? If you go 300 carries again this year.
We've always seen it. You know, you go back to the Barry Alvarez days with a guy like Ron Dayne. I mean, we've always seen these backs that get a ton of carries. Melvin Gordon was a guy that now plays for, obviously, the L.A. Chargers. They got a ton of carries. So they're still going to work. Typically, it's a featured guy, and they're probably going to work Jonathan Taylor to death.
I mean, but to put that in perspective, Jonathan Taylor got right at 300, 299 carries Jonathan Taylor got in 14 games. Do you remember the number of carries Derrick Henry got in 15 games the year he won the Heisman?
I think it was close to that, wasn't it?
395.
Wow.
So he had 100, almost 100 more carries than Jonathan Taylor in one more game, but still, almost 100 more carries.
So Jonathan Taylor, though, as a sophomore, I love everything I read about this kid. He carries a gallon of water around right now. He makes sure he drinks a gallon of water every single day. He's got all of his goals listed.
Yeah.
So he wants to be, obviously, first-team All-American. He talks about being a Heisman. He's got his yardage. He's got his touchdowns. He's got win record. He's got Big Ten champions, college football playoff. I mean, this guy's got all of his goals as a sophomore lined up. They said he's one of the smartest kids on the squad. I like this Wisconsin program. You talk about athletically what Wisconsin's been able to do out of Madison. You know, if you go back to Bo Ryan, what he was able to do with the basketball program, team that really should have won the national championship 4 years ago, and what they've been able to do in football, it's incredible.
I like the fact, and this is what I like about the Wisconsin
program. And it's all 2 and 3-star guys.
It is, but here's why I think it's successful, Lance. They have their identity, and whoever the coach is, they pick the coach to match that identity. Barry Alvarez set an identity there is we're going to be big up front. We're going to try to be physical. We're going to lean on you the whole game. We may not be awesome at quarterback or receivers, but you know where we're going to be really good? Running the football. And we're going to play solid defense, and we're going to run the football. And that's the identity of the team. And you've got that guy hiring coaches now. So he goes out and picks coaches that have that identity. Brett Bielema was coaching for him. Gary Anderson kind of seemed like a weird fit there in that identity. It doesn't pan out, so where do you go? You go to Paul Christ, who had been in that program,
this
has that identity.
Is the best fit. What doesn't make any sense is this is almost the exact model. Look, throwing the football a little bit more because it's where we are in today's college football, but almost the exact model that Nebraska used under Tom Osborne.
You're right. It's not the triple option, but it's a lot like it.
But it's crazy that Wisconsin can have this consistent success. I mean, we're talking about 10-plus wins over the last 4 years. And Nebraska's not even close. So how can Wisconsin be able to do this, but Nebraska can't?
Yeah,
why? And Nebraska's got all the history.
I would imagine. See, here's the thing, though. When these football recruits go in for their official visits, the weather is at its worst in Madison. I would imagine if you go to Madison right now, that's a pretty cool town.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah, I mean, like, I think we just had the Princeton review again of the top party schools.
Right, it's up
Madison
there.
Madison is always up
there. I could imagine that. But think about when you're a college football recruit, though, Lance. You go to the games, but your official visits are in January and February. How do you imagine, or really in January, how do you imagine Madison looks in January?
I think it'd be cold.
I think it would be cold. Maybe that's this early signing date maybe helps a school like Madison or like Wisconsin. You get that kid up there in July or August when it's not quite as cold and he commits early, and first time he's in school up there in February, it snows on him. I don't know. It's a good question, though. Why can you win in Madison? You can't win in Lincoln. That does not make a lot of sense. So that's our preview team, our preview every single day, and we're running out of days now. We've unveiled all but four teams in our top 25, and it's presented by Baumhauer's Victory Grill.
Hey, make your next cookout or tailgate legendary with a bottle of Baumhauer's signature sauces. Kick up your favorites with Baumhauer's hot sauce, or take it to the next level with Baumhauer's legendary white barbecue sauce. Head to Baumhauer's.com/shop or stop by your nearest Baumhauer's location today. Baumhauer's Victory Grill, legendary fun, legendary food.
So Wisconsin, who is a one-loss team, I have joining one-loss Washington, undefeated Alabama, and undefeated Clemson in the college football playoff. That is our preview team today. We'll wrap up our top 25 next week with four more teams. And then 1 week from today is Guarantee Friday. Now, we realize we're in the mornings now. We're well aware of that. And some of you may not know what our Guarantee Friday is. Rockstar, how would you describe a Guarantee Friday?
Oh.
Heaven? Heaven. Oh, the pick three is heaven for you.
Well, it's the tailgating before the pick
three. Tailgating before the pick three,
Guarantee's a fun day. Coral's going to have a good time.
Our Guarantee Friday is you can guarantee three things, anything about the college football season. We actually compile these, and frequently we'll remember, hey, so-and-so, they guarantee this would happen. Something crazy. We had a guy, I don't know if you guys remember, this is so random, but we had a guy once guarantee that a game would be delayed by a massive natural disaster or an earthquake. And sure enough, it actually happened. We had an earthquake that delayed a game. So this is the kind of guarantees you get.
Well, remember, one guy said in 2010 that Auburn would win the national championship and Cam would win the Heisman.
And we laughed at him,
Cam wouldn't even a starter.
Yeah, laughed at him. Okay, whatever, he's going with the Heisman. Boom, it happened. So a lot of things come out of this show on Guarantee Friday that actually end up happening. That is 1 week for today, so get your three guarantees ready, whatever they are, and you'll be given free reign to call in and share your three guarantees on Guarantee Friday.
First down.
So give me one band or singer that is a guilty pleasure and one movie that is a guilty pleasure. Brown, I'll start with you.
One movie that I would say is a guilty pleasure for me is Life with Eddie Murphy and Martin Lawrence. I don't know if you've seen that.
I've seen it. I thought it was okay.
You thought it was okay? I think it's hysterical.
A lot of people would swear by that film. I wasn't a big fan
of
it.
You didn't like it?
A lot of people love that film.
And I love Eddie Murphy. I love Martin. Yeah. I think Martin Lawrence is an underrated comic for years. Yeah. Bernie Mac was in it.
Was hysterical in it.
Anything on the music?
On the music, you're not going to like this, but Boston. I know you hate Boston.
Well, I've got one that probably matches.
I like Boston, man. When Boston comes on, I can turn it up. It's not something I like seek out and listen to, but when it comes on,
it's more than a feeling with
me. It is more than a feeling with me. Yours?
I would go music Foreigner, which I like a lot.
Yeah, I got no problem for it.
And also the All-American Rejects.
Wow.
I always like those guys.
Other than...
They just kind of disappeared.
Other than...
Move Along, Ends Tonight.
Yeah. What was the breakup song? Yeah, give him that one. Yeah.
And then movie Captain Ron. Captain Ron's an awful movie, but I love it.
It's a funny movie, though.
I love Captain Ron. I put Big Trouble in Little China and Tremors.
Oh, Tremors. Yeah. Tremors. So bad, it's so good.
Terrible. I never saw any of the sequels, but musician, that's sad, but I love her lyrics. Natalie Merchant.
Wow.
Yeah.
But I still think she's respected as a musician. Yeah, I guess Lou Gramm would be, too. Yeah. Okay, one product that is...
Well, hang on. We didn't do the second now. Sorry. We got to follow
Najee
protocol.
Harris.
Oh, this is a disaster. We're falling apart here. We're jumping the cues.
Second down.
All right, there we go.
Okay, one product that has gone away that you miss most.
Bar None candy bars.
Is it gone?
It's been gone for a long time.
And I've got a feeling this is going to be food or drink for most.
Bar None was such a good candy bar. I think it was Hershey's, and then they lost it, and they brought it back like a Twix. We got two of them as the size of a Twix in a yellow package, and then they just got rid of it.
There are three things for me, and I'm not certain one of them is gone. And these don't stay – I kind of cheated on this. These don't stay permanently gone, but there are three limited run items that I don't understand why they're limited run. The peach milkshake at Chick-fil-A, the salad at Zaxby's, the Zensation salad at Zaxby's. and the New Orleans Pralines and Cream ice cream at Publix. All three of those are limited run things, and they're all freaking amazing. I do not understand why we have to get rid of those.
Yeah, but at least it comes back.
It does.
You know, the products we're giving you right now, you know, we were doing trivia the other night, and we had the Office trivia, and it brought up Michael's favorite place is Sbarro. As a kid,
my favorite pizza place in New York.
I thought Sbarro was awesome because that slice was so big. And we were so limited when it came to pizza options back then. Not that I necessarily miss it now. The lime Starburst, I've talked about this before.
Right, you love that one, yeah.
And then Gatorade had a lemonade flavor that was so good.
Yes.
Chick-fil-A spicy chicken biscuit.
Oh, yeah, in the morning.
The thing you wanted to come back that they got rid of for whatever reason.
Brown's got such a good relationship with him, he still gets it.
Yeah, you can still get it on the dark.
If it's not on the menu, well, a lot of people basically think it's not even there.
It depends on who you know, Steve. You got to know the right people.
Third down.
Okay, one celebrity you think you could be best friends with?
I mean, when I said this, I was like, you guys are going to laugh at this. Chris Pratt.
Okay.
I think I could be best friends with Chris Pratt. I think we'd have a lot of
cool guy.
I like Chris Pratt.
I didn't know anything about Chris Pratt until I saw one of those Jurassic Worlds.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, I like Chris Pratt. I think he and I could be boys.
Seems like a fun guy.
Yep.
I got two. I got Fred Norris from the Howard Stern Show because he's weird. And
he doesn't talk.
Yeah, exactly. And Dave Grohl.
Exactly, he says. And Dave Grohl from Foo Fighters and Nirvana?
Yeah.
Why?
Because he's just all over the place. He just seems like he's a really cool guy.
They would talk music nonstop. But mine would probably be Vince Vaughn back in the day.
Not Vince Vaughn now.
Not Vince Vaughn now.
Probably not me now. I think both of us 10 years ago would have been a lot of fun together. Probably too much.
Fourth down.
Okay, if you could only have 1 month to live over and over again year-round, what month would you choose?
I think it's got to be October. You get a little warm at the start of Alabama. That's Alabama October. You get a little warm at the start, and you get a little cool at the end. So you get a little summer, spring, and fall in October. You got football. You got the baseball playoffs. I think October's the month, man.
But
that's
you
the
also
one I would
got
pick.
Something that you don't like, Brown. Daylight savings time.
No, it doesn't start till November. You get the longer days.
October would be my number two.
The days are getting shorter in November, but the time doesn't change. Or in October, the time doesn't change till November.
You're a little more insulated when it comes to being warm natured.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I don't like the cold. Mm-hmm. Not that October is, but I would go September because you've still got good summer. You can still swim. You've got the foliage. You've got football. I would go September.
September's the same thing with me.
May was the other one in there, but I don't get football.
Ever, and I know what the answer here is. You've gotten a soda, and the mixture's not right, so you get like a pathetic product.
Absolutely. That's why I don't mind the sampling convenience store.
In turn, can you go back sometimes, get the water, just to get them back for the soda that wasn't good?
Like, go, hey, I don't want soda anymore, I just want water, but then they got to refund it. I mean, that's a lot of trouble.
No,
I'm not going to make them
saying,
with it.
Though, yeah. But if you've done that, when you go back the next time, you get
a
water cup. And,
yeah, maybe just to even things out. Okay, I'm fine with that. Maybe you should explain it to them before doing it.
But I think there is an individual out there that probably every time they go, they say they're getting the water, but they get the other.
Yeah, and that's just cheap.
I think that's why they introduced that teeny tiny cup.
Yeah, just so you'll know, right?
But there's other places around town that I know that give you the regular cup.
That's right.
The employees just don't care. Like, here, just take this.
Yeah, just take this. I know what you're doing. If you think I am going to
enforce this.
But I'm not going to throw this out there, but one of our sponsors, and I think it's kind of neat that they do this, for after-school kids that come by, they just open up the soda machine and let them go.
Oh, I do like that. Yeah. That's a good idea.
I'll tell you later who, because if I threw that out there,
every kid in the world would be down
chaos,
there getting a bottle of pop. John says, I'm sure Abby Lance Taylor's girlfriend was interested and surprised to hear how much thought he had given to how to make a murder look like a suicide. It was a little disconcerting, Lance, as a radio partner of yours.
You know, I just...
If this thing ever goes
south.
I think
there are some obvious things, though. I mean, so you're going to shoot somebody, and then you're going to put a note next to them?
Yeah, I mean, that probably is not going to work.
I mean, again, I definitely did this alone.
I think where we are in forensic science now, that it is so detailed that they know everything.
That was
my
blunt point.
Trauma to the head, if you throw somebody off of 7 floors onto concrete,
right,
you're not going to be able to figure out whether or not somebody got hit with a mallet in the skull or if it was actually concrete.
True, yes. I think I would agree with that. I think my point was, I don't think law enforcement is ever going to be fooled by the staged suicide. I mean, I would imagine...
That one seems an easy one to get away with.
I would imagine 2% of those get away with it, though. The murder, staged suicide, probably 2% get away with it. It's a very low, or it's a very high risk effort on your part there.
Yeah,
you're probably going to go to jail.
For the individual that stages their own suicide for insurance reasons,
right,
they hardly ever get away with it. We had the guy that went high tech with the balloon, the air balloon.
Yeah.
And you couldn't get away with that.
Yeah.
again, I mean, you don't want to stage the suicide.
No.
You just want to walk in front of traffic, right?
No, you don't want to do it at all.
No, I'm saying you don't, but I'm saying that would be...
Hypothetically.
Yes. I'm just saying, if you're in a busy cross-section in New York and you get flipped by a car, now the problem is you're risking maybe not actually going down.
There is that risk. I think it's why people go the other route. It's potentially the darkest segment in the history of our show.
You brought it up.
You're really good. I'm sure Lance has seen it. I have not seen it with a Christian Bale, The Fighter.
Oh, The Fighter was really good.
Not seen
it. I haven't seen it. The biggest collection of ugly women you'll ever see.
Yeah.
I think they really captured that. Because if you go up northeast in some of these, I don't know, sketchy areas of Boston, I think you see that kind of group of women.
Right.
But they did a great job of capturing that.
He is... He's already lost the weight that he gained for Dick Cheney. Have you seen the, he's in that Dick Cheney movie and Christian Bale, and he's already lost the weight. If you do the before and after pictures, he's already down a lot.
So he's playing Dick Cheney?
Yeah. Oh, you should just look up the pictures of it.
He's a method guy, man.
Yeah. Gained a lot of weight. Heck of an actor, though.
But he's already lost it.
Because he packed it on for American Hustle, right?
Yep. And then he lost it for the Machinist.
Yeah.
He almost died. Like, it was just.
Oof. Boy, he's good in American Hustle, though. Man, I like that movie.
I got to show you a picture of these women from The Fighter.
Punk, real quick, here we go.
I really do.
Here we go. Punk rock star, Punk and Chris said Jack and Meg White were married.
There you go.
And divorced years ago. So they're divorced. But they were in a band together still after getting divorced?
And she came out with a little bit of a videotape on the internet that wasn't supposed to be released.
I was not aware of that one. Also, where is it?
I just showed rock star a mass ensemble collection of these women from the 2010 David Russell film.
B. Stone, on Lance's question of things that are gone that you wish were back, he said, do y'all remember when Little Caesar sold pizza by the slice in Kmart?
I do not remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
I mean, what were they charging, 50 cents a slice? You can get a whole pie for like $3 now, can't you?
I just remember as a kid in kindergarten, we'd have that Mayday plate, and they'd have that huge slab of pizza from Little Caesars. This huge thing, like a whole table full, and they were squares.
Am I wrong that Little Caesars used to exclusively do square pizza, and now they've gone around?
So. Yeah, I think it was
I just remember
square.
It as a kid.
Yeah.
Huge pizzas. All the days.
Because we did not
they've had one of the greatest comebacks. We talk about Tiger
really
Woods comeback.
Have.
I mean, Little Caesars is right there with Tiger.
No, they're absolutely. They were. It seemed like they were almost dead. But I remember as a kid, Anniston did not have a Little Caesars. We did not have one in Calhoun County, and it was a luxury to me. Like, I would see the commercials for Birmingham.
Big Brutus's?
But you guys used to make an overnight run to Olive Garden. Wasn't that a big night?
Oh, heck yeah. Come to an Olive Garden? You kidding me?
Daddy got a raise.
I bet Olive Garden loses money on you, don't they?
I would eat that tour of Italy. I ate it so fast one time, I swear. One time, my wife and I were on a date at Olive Garden, and I ordered the tour of Italy, and the manager came by to check on us, right? I scarfed that thing down. He came back by like 5 minutes later. He goes, have you already eaten that? I was like, yeah. He goes, I'll bring you another one just to watch
what
you eat it.
What is the tour of Italy?
It was chicken parmesan, lasagna, and spaghetti.
Oh, my.
Or no, fettuccine alfredo.
Oh, God.
With the bottomless salad and
breadsticks.
Oh, it's phenomenal. The listeners did. It wasn't me. So we're running out of days of Rockstar in the Roundtable Lounge. He's got us a little puzzled because normally he would be sitting here holding his guitar and he shooed Laurel out of the room. But we'll see what happens, LT, on the Roundtable Lounge today.
And it's all brought to you by our friends from Avondale Brewing. For one of the most unique venues for live music and local beer, check out Avondale Brewing Company. And coming up this weekend, August 17th, or is that tonight? Is that actually
that is
tonight? Corey Smith.
It's technically the weekend,
Corey Smith will be at Avondale tonight. Great act. So for ticket information on Corey Smith, which is tonight at Avondale, go to avondalebrewing.com.
Well, it's about 12 years ago. A friend of mine, Jackson Epley and Dave Thompson, we hung out their house and wrote a couple songs. And we recorded this at Jackson's house. We wrote this song real quick. It came together, just three of us playing everything, and it's called Blink.
So it's that old. This is 12 years old.
Yes.
All right.
And this is done at a house, at his house, under his computer and everything. And it's not that bad.
What did I say? I didn't say anything.
It's a kind of a rock song, but Stu's going to start. It's called Blink.
Try to overwhelm you, but I feel my reasons it seems we're two. Unabated, though frustrated, explanations can't seem to pull through as we travel over lines we drew. Just won't pull through. It's the season that we try anew. From persuasion to abrasion, it's this cause you start to always lose as we travel over lines we drew.
That's Rockstar from 12 years ago in the Roundtable Lounge.
How 2006.
How young your voice was then.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really a new wave alt-rock sound.
John says it sounds a little Linkin Park to him.
As that and a little Our Lady Peace, it was weird. We've never written a song together, so all three of us got together and wrote that in about 20 minutes. And so let's record it. Huh. That was it.
And it lives to this day.
Well, we recorded it.
Yeah, you recorded it.
Never been performed live.
The housing market is hot. There are three times more buyers than sellers. It's more important now than ever to make sure you have your financing in place before you even find the house. Get pre-approved today at thehomeloanexpert.com. The Home Loan Expert, LLC.